to on the thing, yeah, put the thing on the thing.
Second wisdom from above. Peace in status in thy love. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Amen. Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank thee that we can once again come to seek thee and study of thy word on this matter of our quiet time. May thou be gracious to illumine us, teach us by thy Holy Spirit. Grant to us understanding, grant to us a determination, and grant to us the will to follow thee. And this I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We have said how the psalmist sought God early. He says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. And he tells us, he was seeking to see the glory and the power of God in his life. He wanted to see, he says, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. What did Israel see in the sanctuary when they were in the wilderness? Well, they saw the glory of God's presence with them. How manna rained from heaven to fill them in the morning. And how God gave them quail in the night. I was watching a documentary. How quails are being skinned. Soldiers in their survival course to learn how to skin a quail. They were all very hungry. They had not enough food. 6, 7, 8 days given few days food. Food ran out. What did they do? Well, they looked for quail. And they learn how to skin the quail. And then they cooked. And so the camera came to one who was eating the quail and said, wow, very, very good. Very good. He was so hungry, he said, I cannot. My hands are shivering, as it were. God's presence with us in our lives. When we seek Him, we see Him taking care of us. We see Him being with us. The glory of the cloud by day in the desert. Without the cloud sheltering you from the scourging sun, before long you would be drained of moisture in your body. We are not like the camel. We said that the camel has the ability to maintain its body temperature. God made it different. He's able to survive in the desert. But for us, well, our skin loses moisture constantly, especially in the heat. And before you know it, you are down with heat exhaustion. If you change, it's not enough water. We see here about the nourishment of God. God being with you in your trial. God being there for you when you are faced with a temptation. God provides for you a way of escape. He said, wow, thank God. It was great danger. But I saw the power of God. I saw the glory of God. He made a way for me. Is God real in our lives? Surely it must be real. Is God helping us through life? Surely He must be real. This was what Israel saw in the wilderness. God's people must experience the sufficiency, the fullness of God in his life. So, the psalmist has experienced the goodness of God, and he is declaring it, the power and the glory of God. He has experienced the care of God for him. He realizes the ability of God to help him in the dangers that he's facing daily in the wilderness. You may be someone doing a lot of driving every day. And you realize that the road is great danger. Accidents you see all around us. And daily we need to seek God's protection to help us. One verse that I have. Drone-free driver, because I need to go to this place and that place at the right time, in time, on time. So tough, and yet the Lord is with us. When we take time to be with God in our personal quiet time, God furnishes us. We bring our worry to God, and in return He gives to us His wisdom. He gives to us His way. And you see, the work of the Spirit of God in us, when He uses His word to instruct us, to show us the way, is mysterious. But this is God's way. And the Lord wants us to find that rest, that wisdom for life. And how can we do it? Through worship, through our devotion, through our communion with our God. Moment by moment, the Lord wants us to do so. This experience is understood by David. While he was a fugitive in the wilderness, he cultivated the habit of seeking God, waiting upon God, help him. He knew the danger, and he knew that if God doesn't work, we are finished. The Israelites who were in the wilderness saw it in a very clear way. They needed God. And if God is not with them, they are in trouble. And it's like, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Fast will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. The psalmist says, I've experienced the loving kindness of God in my life. God's kindness, God's love. And this word is very special. It describes the complete care of God in our life. The Lord wants us to know. And He wants us to give thanks. And the outworking of God's love is His compassion in showing us a way out of our difficulties. A way out of our difficulties, so that we know what to do. So a lady one day said to us that the Lord is preparing my heart for the end of life. How can we be prepared for end of life? If you think of it, it can be very frightening. How can we be prepared? Unless we entrust our souls to God. And he recounted the past faithfulness of God helping him. He says, I will continue to praise and bless God while I live. He has that relationship that is so precious and valuable to him. God is praiseworthy for his the giver of life. In him is life. You know the woman who met Jesus at the well? Jesus came and said, give me water. It was at Jacob's well. And it was, she was a Samaritan woman. Jews and Samaritan, half Jew, half Gentile, had no dealings at all. Unclean. Jesus came, purposely walked through the city of Samaria, come to the well, noontime, to see this woman. Give me water. And she said to Jesus, sure, I give you this water. And Jesus was arresting her attention by this conversation. Jesus wanted to help her. This woman, Jesus said to her that I am able to give you more than this physical water. I'm able to give you the water that would satisfy and quench your thirst forever. And she was so surprised. She said, wow, there I have to go to the well every day to, you know, put the pail down to bring the water. And she said, wow, where do I find this living water? She was very interested. And Jesus said, thou had five husbands. She was so shocked. She said, how do you know my five husbands? This lady was seeking for true love. Couldn't find it. Couldn't find the love that would satisfy her soul. And that day, she met her Savior, who told her, I would have five husbands. If you have Jesus Christ, you have all that you need. Jesus came to her, and she understood it. She knew that Jesus was special. And Jesus was saying to her, that you, then she said, I follow you. What do I do? I'm a Samaritan. I can't worship in Jerusalem. I'm not allowed there. What do I do if I'm, what do I do? How do I worship God? This God that you tell me to follow. Jesus says, you worship me in spirit and in truth, with a sincere heart. And how to come to me alone, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And she understood. And she went away happy, telling to everyone, hey, I found the satisfier of my soul. She found the giver of her life, the source of her life, the source of blessing for her life. And God wants us to cling on to that blessing for our life. Right? Jesus Christ is creator, sustainer, and Savior. He's the one who is the sustainer of our livelihood. That speaks something, isn't it? Next slide. So I'm willing, he says earlier, to seek the Lord. I'm willing to come to God and ask Him for help. Prayer is power. That was our third thought. And now, he experienced answers from God. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. That's the life of faith. Without seeing, you're willing to trust the Lord. Abraham was tested. Asked to bring the son, to sacrifice the son. He had to exercise faith to trust the Lord. How tough it is. But he did so. And what did God say to him? I see. I will see to it. And what did God do? God provided him the sacrifice. He said, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord sees, and he will see to it. It was a test for him. And sometimes, when we have to follow the Lord, walk with God, we have to choose God. And it's as if we are going to lose out in life. Lose out big time. But you realize that with God, no. You'll always be the winner. So, our devotion for next year. Go for that life that wins. That life with God. He experienced the blessings of God that gave him strength and prosperity to his soul. That gave the prosperity to his soul. And we must seek God ourselves to experience this blessing. And it's never too early to be able to cultivate that vibrant relationship with God. You learn it, you can teach it to your children. You can teach it to the people around you. Your colleagues in the workplace. The people around you. God is able to use you for His help. We have someone who is here now at the children's room. Can someone go and bring her down? We have someone who is here. We couldn't find the meeting room. Please go. Yeah, in the children's program. Strengthen and rejoice in verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. You come under the care of God, His auspices, His infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His power to help you. His infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His justice. No unjust situation He cannot make right for you. Even if it seems so apparently. And He says, during those difficult times, right, sometimes when you are in trial, difficulty, night time is the toughest. Cannot sleep. What do? You are very concerned about your situation. Well, He says, I will meditate on thee in the night. Watches. The word is watches. Well, if you look at the clock and you say, how come the night moves so slowly? It's 4 a.m. Now it's 4:05. It's only 4:05. And I thought I've been there for a long time. Now it's only 4:10. God wants us to know that when we delight in Him, He takes care of us. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law that He meditates day and night. When we have God, when we take hold of God, how do we take hold of God? We take hold of God by taking hold of His Word. We take hold of God by taking hold of His Word. Well, when we take time to meditate, we said, is to ponder, consider, carefully think over with deliberateness. Just like there's the unclean animals in the Bible. A rabbit is an unclean animal, and the Bible says that it chews the calf. It does not have a split hoof. Chewing the calf means that an animal chews its food, it swallows it and digests it halfway in the stomach. And then the food is returned to the mouth where the animal chewed it a second time and then swallow it to be digested the rest of the way in the stomach. This provides an illustration of the process of meditation. It is a slow process where the nutrients are slowly absorbed and its essence and its soul. So if you are very busy, you can't. If you are pressed, you can't. And we need to deliberately take time, make time, take time out. And so the psalmist came to a realization that there is one who is able to help him. God, we said, is a person. Has a personality. The personality involves knowledge, feelings, and a will. And what can God do, the person of God, what can Jesus do for you? He tells us that His thirsty soul will be satisfied. His thirsty soul will be satisfied. His weary body may be refreshed. Sometimes when we are exhausted, we need time of rest. The body may be refreshed. He may see God's glory and power. He recounted past faithfulness of God. We must not forget what God had done for us. And those markers in our life provides for us recounts of God's faithfulness, that He will yet do good to us. He will yet again do good to us. God loves and cares for Him. He is praiseworthy, for He is the giver of life. My life comes from Him. He shall receive nourishment of His soul, marrow and fatness. It gives Him joy in the heart. God favors Him. What a friend we have in Jesus. He says that There is a determination and a resolve in his heart. If you have experienced God, you won't let go. Because you know that it's for your life. He says in verse 8, my soul followeth heart after thee. My soul followeth heart after thee. Thy right hand, the hand of authority, the hand of strength, the hand of ability, upholdeth thee. Next. The word follow heart is to cling, is to cleave to the Lord. It's as if for your life you are holding a tight rope. You let go. That's it. And you have to cling on. That's the responsibility that we have as God's children. Cling on. Because if you let go, you'll lose hope. You have to cling on. And this we have to remember. In those valley, dark valley moments, those difficult times, so he says, I follow heart. That's the translation there. He cleaves. That is that motivation that gives him the strength to cling and cleave to God. Follow heart. And God wants us to build that determination, that resolve in our heart. Next. Paul said to Timothy, exercise thyself unto godliness. Exercise thyself unto godliness. 1 Timothy 4, 7, the second part. The word exercise means to train, to work out vigorously, to sweat it out. To sweat it out. This is the New Testament metaphor for discipline. The Lord wants us to exercise ourselves. Next. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now we do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we are incorruptible. We are an incorruptible. We seek a reward, an incorruptible crown that fadeth not away. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a cast away. Sobering word, Paul says. And the word to strive, the word strive, that makes like next slide. Means to engage in a contest, an athletic contest, to fight, to struggle, to strive, to strain every nerve, to toil, to sweat it out. David learned how important. His spiritual and physical well-being is linked to his devotion to his God. Therefore, he spared no effort to seek God with all his heart. There was one time I was visiting a brother in Christ in hospital, afflicted with an illness, final stage of cancer, with children. The way ahead seemed hopeless. The doctor says, 6 months. And the state of helplessness is so real. And every time you meet such a person, you sit, you ask, what will happen to me? What about my wife and children? What about my mother, the believer? But his daily devotion gave him strength in his heart to go on with treatment. God's word gave him strength. He resolved in his heart that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Today, maybe about 8 years, 9 years after, still surviving. The rate of success passing through more than 5 years is just about 3%. The Lord help me. How is your devotional life? It is the will of God that you cultivate a rich devotional life through prayer and His word. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for showing us Thy will. And may Thou be gracious to strengthen us that we may do Thy will and receive Thy blessing. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.